Welcome to the BKB official podcast. Delighted to be joined by Paul Hills. Paul, how are we doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. Thank you, Tom. Good to speak to you, mate. Good to be on a podcast.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. Firstly, let's talk about America. How did you find America? How was it for you?
It was unbelievable, Tom. I found it. I got over there a little bit before my fight, got accommodated with a gym. The Fifth Street Gym in Miami. Friend of mine sought me out there. Chris Sarrow hooked me up. Yeah, and I was away, mate. Once I got my sort of nut in the gym, I felt a lot better. And I got ready for war.
How did they treat you, BYB?
Nah, BYB was superb, Tom. Very professional. You really felt that you was part of an organisation that is, you know, very established out there in America. The people were great, even down to, you know, like, going to get my blood tests. No one could speak a word of English. As soon as they see the BYB on my T-shirt, you know, that was ever so helpful. And, it was really, you know, BYB and their company done their bit to accommodate, you know, us as BKB fighters over there. You know, that was brilliant.
It was a tough fight, Alan Arzino, and you didn't quite get the win. Talk to us about the fight, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was, to be fair with you, Tom, looking back at the footage of the fight, there probably was a little bit aspect of maybe I was a bit, not fatigued, but maybe there was some form of the heat out there, the sleep, the travel. You know, I'm not putting blame on nothing, because to be fair with you, I felt fine in there, Tom. And with the performance I put on, it wasn't like I was left lacking, you know, lacking fitness or lacking, you know, stamina or anything. I was sort of in there for the fight, you know. It was just Alan was so he was so precise on his accuracy of getting the cuts on me, and I think that's down to maybe because he's fought in the Trigon before. He knows where he's going to fall and where he's going to retreat to, and then where he's going to attack from.
He was ring savvy, wasn't he?
Certainly was, and much more than what I give him credit for, Tom. You know, I hold my hands up to it. I don't think I'm fucking superb by all means. You know, I know that I'm sort of, you know, I'm never the elegant sort of boxer style fighter. I'm just in there having a fucking tear up, and I'll take your head off if I get the chance, you know. Alan used his sort of acuteness in the ring, in that Trigon. And I think I just got maybe overexcited, Tom, with the sort of cutthroatness of grabbing them and hitting them. And you know, like on the night, 15 minutes of bare knuckle fighting, I sort of had in my head that, you know, I was just going to get my hands on him and tear him apart. He proved that he had more in his sort of arsenary, with his acuteness of his turning out the corners of the Trigon and then attacking off of that. He boxed the correct fight. You know what I mean, Tom? And I was left with a nasty cut, or a few nasty cuts. And the doctor did give me as many chances as he could. But I think his final stoppage was because it was becoming, well, it was big, Tom. Do you know what I mean? And I think by the sort of fourth, maybe was it a third or fourth time he looked at it, on the time before, he literally verbally said to me, you've got literally two more punches on that cut before I've got to pull you out. And then in my head, I thought, right, I won't get hit on it. And fucking the first punch that Alan threw just connected so well on it, Tom. But that's the game, you know. And I just thought, right, I've got to just get the bit in between my teeth and get hold of him. Cool. So I marched forward, which I'm going to take shots marching forward, you know, mate. But I got stopped on cuts trying to take my opponent out. It's not like I was playing safe, trying to be the, you know, the clever boxer. Yeah. Stand out of fire, mate. That's not what I bring to the table. I think BYB knew that, and BKB definitely know that, and that's why they sent me out there, you know?
Yeah.
In my eyes, Tom, it was a 50-50 fight. Alan brings different things to the table, but he's, no disrespect to him, there's not miles apart from us when it comes to fighters. I think we were quite on an equal turn. I just think Alan's experience and him being on home turf probably made him feel a bit more comfortable, where I felt like I needed to get the job done. And just marched on like I do, Tom, you know?
Just talk to me then about your feelings about the Trigon.
Yeah, no, there is no feelings to it, mate. Apart from I prefer it. I prefer it because there's not that gap of where you've got to make space and then gain your space again. It felt pretty much like I could take two steps forward and I was in punching distance of Alan. And when he tried to get out of my way and move back, it was literally two steps and then we was fighting again. Well, which suited me, Tom, you know. Don't get me wrong, it might not have looked on the video or the playback, you know, like I was in a great place or whatever, but I know as a fighter what I felt in there, and I didn't feel panicked, Tom. I don't know what it looked like, but there wasn't a time in there that I felt panicked. I did feel, you know, that I was in the fight for the full fight, you know what I mean?
Comfortable.
Yeah, I did. I really did, mate. Yeah.
So it is a different, I'm always interested in the dynamics of fighters. You've got that corner, that apex of that trigon. If you get stuck in there, you could be in trouble. How was that for you? Or did that suit you? Did you try and get him in there? Did you fight the center of the ring? How was your plan?
Corner quite easy, Tom. Like when I was marching onto him, he was quite comfortable getting in the corner, but he does quite an acute thing of where he dips his head very low and he turns on his lead foot, which was then getting him out of the corner. And theoretically, it was putting me in the corner, but he wasn't fighting like that, Tom. He was turning out and striking me once or twice to try and get cut. Or that's what I presume he was trying to do. He was trying to get the cuts, you know what I mean? Like to overwhelm throughout 5 rounds of that. I'd have so many cuts that the referee stepped in. You get what I mean?
3 minutes. So did that bother you, the 3 minute rounds?
I didn't even feel it, Tom. I didn't
You're
even
fit
know. I wouldn't
enough,
be.
aren't you? You're always fit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, yeah, not yet. Yeah, I suppose like I make sure we was training 3 minute rounds, so there's not going to be no reason why, you know, if I'm left asking for my fitness, I've either not done enough in camp, Tom, or the travels really took it out of me. But yeah, I felt good in there, you know. I mean, I think someone did say that one of the commentators said, "Oh, as Hilt's got enough to carry on," but they might not know my style, Tom. I'm not an explosive fighter. It's not like I'm jumping around on my feet for the full rounds. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm pretty grounded throughout the fight, but I didn't feel gassed. You know what I mean? I didn't feel like it was, you know, I didn't feel like I was, you know, when you're sort of
Yeah, you
like.
weren't blowing out your backside, were
No,
you?
I was feeling it, mate, because it was a competitive fight and I was on the front foot as well, which takes, you know, takes your gas. But yeah, no, 3 minute round suited me, mate, and five of them, it was lovely.
Did you, and this probably knowing you, I'm pretty certain what your answer will be, but did you learn from it being in that environment in the trigon with 3 minute rounds? Did you learn from it?
Yeah, no, I did, Tom. I mean, I'm like, listen, I'm not that dickhead. You never learn, whatever. What I said before was obviously with the Tom Tonkin's fight was, I should and do no better than to go toe to toe with someone that you know nothing about and has got better boxing abilities than you know? That's just cold hearted truth. But obviously you do learn, Tom, and I learned that the style of fighters when I fought Stilts in the O2, totally different. Way of fighting and style of fighting, which suited me. Now, when I fought Alan out in America, totally different way of fighting, and the style didn't suit me because I didn't anticipate it, Tom. But I do think that if I was to fight another American, I feel now that with the experience of both styles of a different style, if that makes any
Yeah,
sense,
absolutely.
yeah, I feel that I'm getting a grounding now for it, Tom. You know, that was my 10th bare knuckle fight, and people was talking me out, other fighters and the organisation, like you're a veteran of BKB. And like I said to you before, I've never looked at myself like that, but I've been and done it all, Tom. I've had the knockout wins, I've had the knockout losses, I've had the cut wins, I've had the cut losses. You know, I've had an opponent pull out of me on the scales. You know, I am now, you know, I've fought you know, someone from across the pond that comes to London to fight, and now I've got across the pond and fought an American out in their turf. So yeah, now the experience thing comes into it. It is a new learning thing because I put myself totally into something that I've never done, Tom. You know, traveling,
Absolutely. Yeah.
especially flying somewhere, and then fighting the trigon and fighting an opponent with that style, a southpaw as well, another southpaw, which you know I don't really get on well with southpaws. So yeah, no, I did learn. I learned a lot about BYB and the style of fighting, and I've took a lot onto my I've took a lot onto my sort of fighting style and my brain, my boxing IQ, if I've even got any. But I've took some things on there, Tom. Like I don't, yeah, no, I have, mate. I'm not going to sort of release what I've learned and what I want to. But I have, mate. I have, yeah.
Your next opponent will find out.
100%. Well, he might not, because it might not be the style that I need to change for, and the old me might just get the first round knockout like we love. But
What are you
you know.
expecting next from BKB? Where do you want to be? What do you want to fight? Who do you want to fight? Have you got any thoughts? Have you
I
been
have, mate.
hustling?
I've heard my views to BKB. Obviously, the management at BKB, now it's over to them. I'm always hungry, Tom. I mean, some people might look at it that, I'm 5-5 now, but all five of my wins come by KO. Obviously, two of my losses come by doctor stoppages with the cuts. So, it, the my sort of record, fight record, doesn't sort of say, how excited I am as a fighter. But who's next? Obviously, I still want belts, Tom. I want to fight abroad again if the chance comes up. I'm hungry, even though I'm 10 fights in, and I've fought for the British title twice, and I fought Barry Jones and blah, blah, blah. Like it does, the list is now getting up there of sort of what I have achieved. I'm still hungry, mate. I still want straps, and fighting abroad suits me, and also fighting in the Trigon in London absolutely suits me. That's something I really would be pushing for. But I think the show's October, so we've only got 4 weeks to the show, and I wouldn't be able to. It would be ludicrous for me to take that fight with the injuries that I took on the last fight,
So tell me, what drives you on? With all due respect, at your age, what drives you on?
Do you know what, Tom? It's just me. It's the way that I'm wired up. The difficulties I've had in my life with my spine and everything else, that's one massive drive in my life. And then obviously now my children are slightly older, the journey's a little bit different because they look at it through different eyes. And they can see that I'm pushing myself to past the point of, you are right, it should be done now, such thing. But I'm the fittest I've ever been, Tom. Each camp I'm coming through physically better. At 41 to go in there and put on a 15-minute bare knuckle fight with the clinch involved in America after traveling, it shows at what sort of level I'm at, as in like my body wise peaking. And I do feel that I'm at the best that I've ever produced, Tom. So, that drives me, my man. That drives me that I feel like I can do better,
And I think the fans, win, lose, or draw, you put bums on seats. Fans love to watch it because you always give them value for
Do you
money.
know what? You've mentioned it slightly in our interviews before, and to be fair with you, Tom, I just sort of like didn't really take much on it, didn't really know. But going out to America, and the attention from other combat sports fans, not even bare knuckle fans like UFC fighters, Thai boxers, et cetera, and the way that they spoke about the way that I fight, who I fight, and how I fight, and just that I'm, will then fight again no matter what. And nothing beats me, Tom, like be it a loss or a win, or be it a situation in life or circumstances. It's very hard to beat a man that won't lie down, sort of thing. And I think that the fan base that I didn't even know, wasn't even aware about, it is there, Tom. So yeah, I believe that they're happy with seeing the way that I do dedicate myself, and I am all in. And it has, it's made a little fan base there that has made me proud of what I'm achieving.
Well, you were 3-3 in Pro Gloved, right? 3-3. Believe it or not, I was at your first fight. I think that was in Birmingham at the Holiday
That's
Inn.
right.
It might have been a Pacquiao Dell night,
Yep.
I'm pretty sure. And I was there
That's
that night.
crazy.
So
That's crazy.
isn't that crazy? And now here you are doing, but you were 3-3 in Gloved, and then now you're 5-5 in. Is it just that you like
Well, what
fighting?
it was within gloves, Tom, where I didn't turn pro till I was 34, we knew that I wasn't going to be on no dream thing of like, working myself up, getting 20 fights under my belt. So I said, I want a 4-round fight, a 6-round fight, an 8-round fight, and a 10-round fight. That was my achievement. At the time, you could box for a master's belt, which was a 10-round fight, professional, obviously. But the way it fell out, mate, I had one 4-round fight. Then they offered me an 8-round fight. I took it straight away. Then they offered me a fight for the Challenge title, which was a new version of the Masters professional titles.
Right.
And I fought for that, and I lost against Scott Douglas, which is he was a reputable pro sort of thing.
Oh, that was in Grays, wasn't it? Civic Hall in Grays.
That's right. And then it went on from there, Tom. I got offered a couple of big fights, and I loved the challenge, you know. I mean, my last fight, that one in Birmingham you talk about, they asked me to get to middleweight, bearing in mind that I used to be 18 stone. I made 11 stone championship weight, and I fought their Northern Area champion, Tom Stokes. He was undefeated as an amateur. I think it was 90 saying amateur fights. And then he was 8-0 as a pro. A matchroom couldn't place any fighters to fight him on the show up in Birmingham. So I took it, mate. You know what I mean? Big show. Obviously, I was the underdog. I was 36. He was 22. Obviously, he's got 100 amateur fights and 8 professional fights, eight stoppages on his card. I was the underdog.
Is that one of your strengths? Is that you're not picking and choosing. Whoever's there, you fight.
Yeah, no, I face the fire, Tom. That is what people don't. They get a mistake with my journey. My journey is a lot to do with in the fight. I feel like I have not got a chance of getting out of there alive. Yeah, and it makes me find something deep inside me, Tom. And the greater the opponent, the deeper I panic, the deeper I worry.
And the deeper you have to dig.
The deeper I have to look for that thing, Tom. Yeah. And finding it, mate, just makes me credit myself and it makes me stronger as a person and in life, even though it's through fighting that we're getting, you know, we're finding that. It makes me as a stronger person, Tom. And that's what makes me want to keep driving for these harder challenges, you know.
What is it about your makeup, though? Because you're not a trash talker, are you? You don't get involved in all that stuff.
No, I've not got an ego to feed, Tom. So I don't, and I'm not insecure. I feel that sometimes when you have to belittle your opponent before a fight, it's because you're trying to make yourself confident or you're lacking in something. I've got none of that. Yeah, I know who I am and I know what I'm about, mate, and I know what I've got. And if that man beats me or he's got more than that on the night, fair play to him. I'll shake his hand and I'll only respect him. Other than that, you're not going to intimidate me and you're not going to impress me with any shit talk or anything like that. I'll let them crack on, mate. They can say what they want. And when the bell goes ding, that's when I'll try and put in, you know, if they've said that bad about me or there's been shit talk, then I'll make sure I ram my right hand right in their mouth.
Are you fancy another crack at, you talk about the title, Nathan De Castro? That was for the British welter. Do you fancy another crack at that, maybe?
I'd love a fight with the British. I'd love a fight for the British title. James Kennedy's the champion at the minute. Me and James have openly spoken. Obviously, James thinks he'd beat me because he's the champion and he's confident. He's a good boxer. I believe that I could beat James. Don't ask me why or how, because I don't know, but that's what I believe I would. And I said to him, I'd love to fight you for it, James. You know, like, and I haven't hit, like, it's not saying that I'm saying away from Tom. When that day we was up the gym with yourself, that's the conversation me and James had together. We was both men and we spoke like respectful sportsmen. Do you get what I mean? Professional.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Professional.
And I only shook his hand, Tom. I shook his hand. I said, thank you. You know, and he promised me that if the opportunity comes up that, you know, the fight's going to happen. And I thanked him for it, Tom. So, yeah, the British is what I'd like. A rematch with Nathan is theoretically always on the cards because I feel it was a close fight and I feel like I'd like to prove, belt or no belt, that I can beat Nathan. And that's not me digging him out either. That's not me talking shit about him. That's just, I'd like to do it because I was in such a close fight. And
It was a majority decision, wasn't it?
I could have won if I just attacked it a little bit different. So that, you know, that's there to get that loss sort of, changed in my head, if you get what I mean.
What have you spoken to Jim about next fight? Is it December? When will you fight next?
I'll definitely fight before the end of the year, Tom. Opponents not yet, you know, arranged. I've put down who I'd like to fight, and to be fair, you know, they are all big boys. So obviously, there's a lot of politics that come into it when you're fighting the top of tier of your fighters in your weight category, sort of thing. I've left that over to Jim as management. You know, Jim and Joe, as they do, that's their part of the job. They know that I'm ready. I always surprise people how well I recover after a fight. I mean, we're only like a week or something away, Tom, and look at my face there. You know, last week I couldn't open my eyes, could hardly speak, and yeah, I'm brand new. I've been in the gym since Monday. I've been in there every day. Yeah, no, listen, there ain't no, you know, if you rest, you rust. So 41, mate, I'm not taking that risk.
I know that you're late on in your fight career. You were late onto gloved. You were late into BKB. What has BKB done for Paul Hill?
It's just made me, it's given me a reward for all my hard work and effort, Tom. You know, like pro glove is taken away from you because if you're at the wrong age there, you don't fit into the criteria of where you're going to be carried into the big fights. This is just truth, you know. And then obviously with BKB, I've had to dedicate and really, you know, push myself and take on the hardest fights to get where I am and who I am. You know, if I wouldn't have took all them hard fights, if I wouldn't have fought Barry, if I wouldn't have took Nathan for the British title, if I wouldn't have never said no to Jim, every time he's fought, if I wouldn't have fought Jack Arnfield on my second fight, you know, all these factors come into my career, Tom, that is why, you know, why I was out in Miami. You know what I mean? Why I'm hoping that Jim and Joe are going to give me another big fight. You know, it's not the fact that of like the wins and losses on my career. It's the fact that I've conducted myself. You know, I've feared no man and I've feared no challenge. You know, mate, I do what I do and I leave it to them to give me the best opponent that I can face.
And I suppose fight after fight, you prove that age is just a number.
Yeah, the age thing is just like, you get a 25-year-old fella out there, Tom, that don't live the life. He's got a shit diet, shit sleep. You know, maybe drink or nothing, and I'll be fitter than him. Of course I will be, even though he's 25-year-old. But if you get, if you get any 40-year-old that respects herself and wants to bring the best out of their body physically, then they're going to be as fit as me, my man. You know what I mean? But, yeah, I'm proving that I've still got plenty of bite left in me, mate. And, you know what I mean? There's steam in the tank and there's wins to be had. So, I'm not even, you know, when I fall down, Tom, I fall forward, mate, you know?
You probably don't realise it, but I remember the first interview I did with you. You've improved on this side of it as well.
Compared to yourself, Tom, conducting yourself so well. Always, man.
Because you were a nightmare, that first one.
Yeah.
You just wanted to fight, you know, don't want to talk.
It was just because the BKB thing was so cutthroat with a bare knuckle, and I weren't too sure of how people conducted themselves. You know? And I'm quite a nice and average man, Tom, and I won't. You know, there's no, so I thought if I keep my mouth shut, then no one's got an opinion. Do you get what I'm saying? And I just kept it like that, mate.
And I suppose that's magnified by nobody has a bad word to say about Paul Hills.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, I didn't know that was the case, Tom. But yeah, that's not, listen, I've not got a bad word to say about anyone unless they give me a reason. You know, I don't want no problems, but if you want a problem, we can have a problem. You know,
trust me, I don't.
No, I mean, no, mate. Yeah.
It's always a real thrill to speak to you because, you know, you're what BKB is all about. So we look forward to seeing you in the ring in December.
Yes, my man, I'll be there, mate. Don't you worry. Getting a result, getting a win under my belt.
Good luck. Good luck, pal.